You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey everybody, it's Monday, November 13th, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio. Coming up on the show today, we've got our biggest takeaways from Week 10. We're also breaking down all the top performances and biggest disappointments from the weekend. How are you feeling now that we are mostly through week 10? I guess you're excited because your Bills play on Monday night.
I am excited for my Bills. I am so happy to put week 10 behind us. The byes have crushed a lot of my lineups this week, so I'm just ready to turn that page, hopefully with a Bills W, and move on to week 11.
It was a rough week in the sense that we had a lot of great offenses that were off and a lot of key players that were unavailable. We do have another 6-team bye week coming up, I think in week 13, I believe.
And there's a week before that with no teams. Well,
there's no teams.
It doesn't make sense. It
makes zero sense to me at all. We will try to make sense, though, of things that happened in week 10. We'll get our biggest takeaways from the week, our top performers. We'll take some of your fan questions, and we will have our waiver wire targets with Matt Okada a little bit later on in the show. But let's get started, as we always do, with our fantasy headlines. Down in New Orleans, Derek Carr left the loss to the Vikings with a pair of issues, a right shoulder injury and a concussion. Now, according to Ian Rappaport and other sources, Carr says he hopes to return after the bye. The Saints are off in week 11. But I will say this, Derek Carr was struggling to get the ball to Chris Olave. Jameis Winston comes in. It takes him all of two throws to get Chris Olave involved, get him a touchdown. All seemed right with the world if you were a Chris Olave manager. So while Dennis Allen has said Derek Carr is their guy, there's somewhere deep down in your heart that wishes we had Jameis right now?
I've wished we've had Jameis since before the season started. Like, I will take no shame in, like, the fact that I have been and always will be a huge Jameis Winston stan. I understand if you care about, like, winning football games, maybe he's not your guy. But if you just want fun, there is no quarterback more fun than Jameis Winston. And that's the thing. Like, if you have Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Michael Thomas, any of these guys, I'd argue that it's better for them for fantasy with Jameis Winston. He's going to, that throw, that touchdown throw that he threw to A.T. Perry.
That was ridiculous.
No other quarterback on the planet even attempts that. Jameis is throwing touchdowns on that. Like, it's just, he's going to just have fun, throw the ball up there and get the most out of his guys for fantasy.
I think it was Ben Gretsch from CBS who tweeted that, like, you know, usually you see a throw like that and it's like, you know, how many guys in this league could make that throw? And it's like, well, a lot of them could, but how many guys in this league would make that throw?
One.
Jameis is the only one who would think about throwing a completely across the field into double coverage and just throwing a jump ball to his guy.
To a rookie that has not made an impact at all this year. Like,
you want to know how few people know A.T. Perry? I mean, Scott Hansen has a deep Rolodex of NFL players in his head. He saw the play and he said, Chris Olave, wait, no. Like, literally, Scott Hansen had to pause and look, and I'm not sure if somebody said it in his ear or what, but he finally, after a couple of moments, came up with A.T. Perry. That's what it is. So We'll see, by the way, Michael Thomas did leave that game early with an injury. Something to monitor as the week goes along, because maybe A.T. Perry into being sort of a deep waiver target if Michael Thomas can't go. Now, mind you, again, the bye week is coming, so this might be a moot point when it's all said and done. Over to Atlanta, where the Falcons made the decision to go with Taylor Heinicke as the starting quarterback for his second straight week. That did not stick for four quarters because he injured his hamstring in the loss to the Arizona Cardinals, and Desmond Ridder was back in our lives. Look, Taylor Heinicke wasn't really lighting it up. He wasn't doing great things for the Atlanta pass catchers. So, I mean, Taylor Heinicke, Desmond Ridder, does it even matter anymore?
No, not really. I thought Heinicke would be better because he throws it downfield more. But yeah, the lucky thing for us is that the Falcons are on bye next week. So we do not need to worry about Arthur Smith and if we could trust any of them, at least for 1 week.
At least for 1 week. Although, you know, shout out to Arthur Smith. He gave Bijan Robinson 22 carries. I don't know if the weeks and months of peer pressure finally got to him, if he has somehow fallen victim to toxic groupthink, air quotes right there. But he gave Bijan a bunch of carries. He had 95 yards. I mean, they still didn't win, but we were happy.
That's the thing. He's going to be like, we didn't win. Tyler Allgeier, you're back in
Which
there.
Is funny, because like they give Bijan carries and they don't win. They don't give Bijan carries, they don't win. Maybe there's somebody else that's at fault here. Awkward silence. Okay, that's enough of that. Over to the New England Patriots. They go over to Germany, and Guten Nacht, Patrioten. They lose to the Indianapolis Colts. Mac Jones had such a McCorkle throw near the end of that game that they put him on the bench in favor of Bailey Zappe. Not that Bailey Zappe was all that much better. He throws an interception to close the game out and get Indianapolis the win. So I'll ask you the same question about the Patriots wide receivers that I did about the Falcons pass catchers. Does it even matter anymore who's quarterbacking New England?
This matters even less, because at least the Falcons have pass catchers that we feel good about. For the Patriots, it's Ramondre Stevenson or bust, I think, moving forward for fantasy. And that Mac Jones throw was so bad. It might have been the worst throw I've seen. Like, I was here, me and Patrick Claibon were in the green room, and like both of us were like, we had to make sure that we just watched. We were like, does that get tipped or like, no. And then like, yeah, it was just a talk around here. Everyone was like, I cannot believe that throw. Third time this year he's been benched. It has to stick this time.
I have never in my life seen a back shoulder throw to a defensive back. Because that's what that was. It was a back shoulder throw to the corner who made a great play on the ball. I mean, you know, look, in Mac Jones's defense, that corner ran a great route. How could you not hit him on the numbers? Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, we were trying to make DeMario Douglas a thing. Kendrick Bourne had kind of been a thing when he was healthy. I just don't know that it matters. I guess if you're really hurting at tight end, you can try and figure out how to stream Hunter Henry or Mike Gesicki. But if we're doing the revolving door between Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe, it just doesn't even matter.
Caleb Williams, here we come.
Does Caleb want? I mean, I know Caleb doesn't really have a say. He doesn't really have a say in the whole matter. Does he even want to go play for Bill Belichick and the Patriots right now? Who knows? All right, let's get to some maybe better things. Some things that we learned from Week 10, our biggest takeaways of the week. And the game that was played right at SoFi, arguably the most entertaining game of the weekend. We got some really good news on the running back front.
Look, I had said to start Jahmyr Gibbs last week, but my confidence was wavering because, I mean, the fear was David Montgomery was back and is going to go back to how it was earlier this season. Nope, they are both going to be just fine. Jahmyr Gibbs, 58% of the snaps, had more carries, 14 to 12, ran 21 routes, had 5 targets. David Montgomery did not have a single target. He had the long run salvage his day, but to me, the takeaway from this is like, you should feel better about Gibbs moving forward, I think, than Montgomery, because not only did Gibbs have the 2 touchdowns, but they were rotating drives, and when they got near the goal line, we weren't seeing Gibbs get pulled for Monty like we were earlier in the season.
That is an interesting point, and I mean, I was excited as somebody, one who has been wanting Jahmyr Gibbs to do big things, but also as somebody who has David Montgomery in several leagues, that both of them were able to eat yesterday. Now, it was, I think, something like, I think Gibbs played like 57% of the snaps and Montgomery was like 35, 36%, somewhere around there. I'm curious what happens next week when Montgomery has, you know, he's had a game under his belt, he's gotten a little bit healthier. Does that split get a little more narrow? But with the way the Lions are moving up and down the field and scoring points, it might not matter.
You start them both.
I mean, like, which best case scenario.
Yeah. who are you going to start over them? Like, the running backs are extremely thin.
Right. Too. I mean, you're going to start a Texans running back? No. Speaking of running backs, Jonathan Taylor looks like he's back to being a workhorse back. I mean, he played 89% of the snaps in that game against New England, had 88% of the rushing attempts. And you look at over the last 2 weeks where he's gotten a big, heavy workload. He's playing about 75, 76% of the snaps there, getting a ton of the rushing opportunities. He didn't have that big a snap share when he had his breakout season in 2021. I mean, he's only playing about 65% of the snaps in 21, now getting even more opportunities here. So he's the guy going forward. He's getting plenty of opportunities. He hasn't been incredibly efficient, but the volume has been there. The other part of this is, I will tell you, if you have Zach Moss, don't drop Zach Moss. If you have the roster space to hold on to him, hold on to him because he still has incredible handcuff value. If something happens to Jonathan Taylor, then we know Moss can step back into a big role and we know he can perform well. So as long as you have the space to kind of hang on to him, I would advise to not drop Zach Moss, put him back on your bench and just ride it out and see what happens over the next couple of weeks. Last week, I think I came on this show. I know I came on Fantasy Live and railed against people who dropped Trey McBride.
It made no sense.
It made no sense. Like 25,000 people at one point in 1 week had dropped Trey McBride. We were like, why are you? Is this a Clayton Tune thing? And we were validated for telling people that.
Oh, yeah. 21 fantasy points and 131 yards later for Trey McBride. He is a top seven fantasy tight end. And he's played three games without Zach Ertz. He had the one bad game with Clayton Tune. And the other two, he had the most yards by a Cardinals tight end since 1970 and the most catches ever by a Cardinals tight end in a game. Yeah, he's rewriting their history book in three games. But I put top seven because I was like, he could be even higher. But I have the top seven tight ends the rest of the way as Kelsey and Andrews and Hockenson, I think, are set. Then you get the two rookies in Kincaid and Sam Laporta, George Kittle, Trey McBride. I don't think there's another tight end in the league that I would take over him.
I mean, the volume is incredible. I mean, this is the guy who was drafted to be their tight end of the future, and he has shown it ever since Zach Ertz has been out. So at this point, look, you're riding with Trey McBride for the rest of the season. Don't drop him. What are you clown makeup? Don't drop him. Last one here. Rashad White is an every week starter right now. Look, forget all the inefficiency because, right, he's not a very efficient runner. The run blocking is not very good there in Tampa, but he's doing it in other ways. You look over the last 4 weeks, Rashad White is the RB4 in PPR leagues because they are just throwing him short passes and letting him get out in space and work. He's had 45 or more receiving yards in four straight games. He's gone four straight games with 90 plus scrimmage yards overall. He's become a big part of what they do. And look, it just sometimes you just have to sort of reevaluate as the season goes along. But Rashad White has real legit RB1 vibes, even in an offense that's just sort of meh overall. And look, I'll take the L on this one. I was not a big Rashad White guy. I know you weren't either. But you know what? Like, I'm willing to admit that I was wrong. And he's a guy that should be in your lineup every single week. Coming up, we'll talk about some guys that hopefully were in your lineup this week because they went big and maybe some other guys that shouldn't have been in your lineup because they were disappointments. We got that and more coming up here on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking at the top performers from Week 10, the Monday night game still to be played, but Dak Prescott continuing to stay hot. 400 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, also a rushing touchdown, nearly 38 points for him. Brian Robinson, who did it mostly through the air. 6 catches, 119 yards and a touchdown, receiving almost 28 points for B-Rob. Keenan Allen continues to cook, man. I mean, we seem to overlook him, and every year he seems to do great things as long as he's healthy. 11 catches for 175 yards and 2 touchdowns. 40.5 points for Slayer. TJ Hawkinson, who had 11 catches, 134 yards and a touchdown, 30 points there, and seemed to be doubled over in pain after every single play. So shout out to TJ Hawkinson for just literally gutting it out on Sunday. Couple of kickers with 17 points apiece, Matt Prater and Jason Myers. And the 49er defense, apparently upset about all the things being written and said about them during the 3-game losing streak. They hammered the Jaguars, and the Niners put up 20 fantasy points there. Let's talk about some of the guys who did go big, who may or may not have been on that list. And I'm running out of superlatives for Amon-Ra St. Brown, but maybe he was energized. He was back home in Southern California, so that might have helped a little bit.
He was amazing yesterday. Season high 156 yards, season high 30.5 fantasy points, and it could have been better because he had a catch where he got tackled in the one, and he looked like he wanted to fight Jared Goff. Like, I've never seen a wide receiver more mad at their quarterback after a completion than that play. He was slamming the ball down and stuff, but I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is getting overlooked a bit by how good Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb have been playing. He has scored at least 14 fantasy points in every single game this season. Multiple times he's top 30, routinely tops 20. He is having one of the best wide receiver seasons, and it's kind of quietly going under the radar a little bit.
Is Amon-Ra St. Brown a first-round pick next year?
He should be.
I mean, because like this year, we were like sort of borderline, like, oh, no, I'd rather wait till the second round. I feel like next year we're going to be talking about Amon-Ra probably in that 10 to 12 range at the tail end. So you're getting him probably in the first part of the turn and coming back around. Dak Prescott. I know people like to poke fun at Dak Prescott. He is the subject of a lot of narratives with the interceptions and what have you. He had that awful game against the 49ers several weeks ago. Since then, has been balling out. The 400 passing yards and 4 touchdowns this past week. But since that loss to the 49ers, where the Cowboys just got straight up thumped, Dak Prescott only has 2 interceptions thrown. He has been over 20 points in his last 4 games, going back to before the bye even. And on top of that, he's doing it a little bit with his legs. Not a ton of rushing production, but he does have a couple of rushing touchdowns since that loss to San Francisco. So Dak Prescott getting it done. Shout out to him. Shout out to most everybody in the Cowboys offense. We'll get to maybe somebody who sadly doesn't get to join in the party there. But Dak Prescott over the last 4 weeks, the QB3 behind Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, just continuing to do big things. Speaking of doing big things in the state of Texas, hello, Tank Dell.
Yeah, on Fantasy Live, Cynthia has nicknamed me Tank Florio because yes. I love the fact that he's called Tank and he's my size. But you can't measure hard, right? And that's what Tank Dell brings. 14 targets this past week. He only went for 56 yards, but he did score a touchdown, gave you nearly 19 fantasy points. 2 straight games in a row that he's exploded. 4 games this year with 18 or more fantasy points. And CJ Stroud right now leads the league in passing yards per game. That's the thing. The Texans passing game has just blown up. They are amazing. There might be some volatility because they're all so young, but I don't care. Like, you're starting Tank Dell. You're starting Nico Collins. Noah Brown is in play as a flex option moving forward. And CJ Stroud has become a must-start quarterback.
He really has. And with no Nico Collins, Tank Dell 8, and even Noah Brown has gotten some run the last couple of, I shouldn't say some run. He's been balling out the last 2 weeks without Nico Collins. And everybody wants a piece of that Houston Texans offense. Not a thing I thought we were going to say at the start of the year. Sam Howell. I keep saying it, like, I don't really know how he's getting it done, but he's playing really good football. And even though the Commanders lost to the Seahawks on Sunday, it's hard to really put any of it on Sam Howell. 312 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, led a drive near the end. Looked like maybe it was going to be enough. It was not, unfortunately. But he is making plays with his arm, with his legs, and spreading the ball out to a lot of his pass catchers. Now, I know it was not a great day for Terry McLaurin. But before that, McLaurin had been balling out. We saw De'Ami Brown get involved. Curtis Samuel is making plays. It's been hard to sort of pinpoint one Commander's receiver, but Howell is the one that's getting all the fit. You know, it's sort of like what we thought was going to happen in Jacksonville, where you know you were like, I don't know if I want a Jaguars receiver, but I want Trevor Lawrence because I'm going to get all those opportunities. And I think the same thing applies in Washington, where it's really hard on a week-to-week basis to figure out which Commander's pass catcher is going to get it done. But Sam Howell is making plays.
He did this yesterday despite the fact that Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson were held in check. His running backs gave him 150 receiving yards and two touchdowns. He's just finding ways every week to get it done.
It was Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson who got it done in the passing game. Speaking of quarterbacks, I guess rumors of Brock Purdy's demise were greatly exaggerated.
It's so funny how it works, right? Like, he gets Debo back. He gets Williams back. It's true.
Williams back.
And all of a sudden, he looks like Brock Purdy again. Yeah, I understand he's one of those quarterbacks that, like, the situation has to kind of be perfect there in San Francisco for him to put up big numbers. But who cares when it's perfect in San Francisco right now? And that's the thing. I think Brock Purdy, as long as all of his playmakers are healthy and Trent Williams is healthy, is just a quarterback you could start each week and, like, I have in our fantasy live team, I have him and Kyler Murray, who I also think is back to being a weekly starter each week now. It's going to be a fun problem to have, I guess, trying to figure out which one of those two, because I think both of them moving forward, you just plug in.
Yeah, I mean, Purdy looked great. And look, I got the feeling that the 49ers spent the off week just being upset, just being angry about everything that had happened the previous three games, because let's be honest, they weren't playing well on both sides of the ball. Yes, they were missing some key pieces. They also just weren't playing as well as they did the first 5 weeks of the season. And I think they spent a lot of time just sort of internalizing it and making changes, making adjustments. And it showed. And the Jaguars, unfortunately, were the victims of what happened during the bye week. Let's talk about Ja'Marr Chase. Because I know we spent the whole week worried about the back injury and what his status was going to be. And then you know, we get the news that he's going to be active and he's going to play. And I don't remember who it was. Somebody posted a poll. It was like, will he be active? Like with an exclamation point? Or will he be active with quotes around it? He was active with an exclamation point. Five catches, 124 yards and a touchdown. And a reminder of why you just can't sit a guy like Ja'Marr Chase. I know you got a lot of questions about it. I got a lot of questions. People were concerned. I get it. But I don't know any fantasy analyst out there who in their right mind said, yeah, you can't play him. Because there was always the possibility that this was going to happen with Ja'Marr Chase.
And I'm sure you got it as well. In the first half, I was getting a bunch of tweets. Because I tweeted in the morning, like, if Ja'Marr Chase plays for the Bengals, he plays for your fantasy team. And people were like, he's a decoy! And then that one long catch. And it's like, that is why you never sit him. It takes one play for him to have a huge game.
Yeah, that's all it really takes. I mean, again, there are some guys you just sort of deal with because the ceiling is really, really high. Ja'Marr Chase is one of them. So, you know, I guess let this be a lesson. Hopefully next week he's going to be healthier anyway. We won't even have to have this conversation. So those are the guys who went big. These are the guys who went small. This was supposed to be Tony Pollard week. I was told repeatedly. I said repeatedly this is going to be Tony Pollard week. It was not Tony Pollard week.
Not only was it not Tony Pollard week, the Cowboys scored seven touchdowns. Six different players scored a touchdown. They had three rushing touchdowns. None went to Tony Pollard. Dak had one. Rico Dowdle had one. CeeDee Lamb had a rushing touchdown. The receiving ones went to Lamb, Gallup, Cooks, and Ferguson. It was just like a who's who of everyone could score a touchdown except for Tony Pollard. And to make it even more frustrating, he had one where he was tackled on the one, and I was like, he got in. They didn't challenge it. They scored on the next play. There was another time where he got multiple carries and got stuffed at the goal line. It is extremely frustrating. He has not lived up to expectation. He has come no. It's so frustrating that for years we were like, imagine what this guy could be if Zeke was gone. And he became Zeke once he got the opportunity. Like, he's just a plotter right now. And the worst part, he gets the Panthers next week. 100% should be back in your fantasy
line. We're all going to buy back in next week, right? Because he's got the Carolina Panthers. Their run defense is terrible. Please, just throw us a bone. Just give us Tony Pollard in the end zone. That's all we're asking for. We don't ask for much. We're not being greedy. That's all we want. Trevor Lawrence. There was always the possibility that the 49er defense was going to figure something out and slow down Trevor Lawrence. I didn't think they would shut him down to the point of him having 2.1 fantasy points. He looked confused. They sad music in my ear. In 2.1 fantasy points, he looked confused. He had to hold the football. They really crossed things up on him. He was under pressure consistently. Again, the Niners figured some things out in the bye week, and Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars were the unfortunate victims of that. Again, there was always the possibility that maybe it wasn't going to be a great number. I didn't think it was going to be that bad of a number for Trevor Lawrence.
Do you want to hear some quarterbacks that outscored Trevor Lawrence?
Sure.
Tommy DeVito
had to be one of them,
Zach
right?
Zach Wilson, Clayton Toon.
Who like had one play, basically.
Both Falcons quarterbacks and both Saints quarterbacks.
Gah! That was rough for T-Law this week. Hopefully it's better.
Rough week on a rough year.
It was. Like... It's been an underwhelming year for Trevor Lawrence. I think we expected more, and it has not really materialized so far. That'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. Be sure to listen tomorrow. We're answering fan questions. Plus, Matt Okada is going to drop by with his top waiver wire targets. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.